positioned no one.
Right, and then I've seen other FBI people on TV saying, the Hoover they knew no way could have been a homosexual.
Exactly.
So there's a bit of confusion, and he wasn't a homosexual.
He was never a homosexual. Cross-dresser for the reason of being able to manifest emotions that he could not in a male garb. Simple as that.
Right. Now, there's that book by Summers about Hoover. There's another book before that, The Secret Files of Hoover. There's been a lot of bad press about Hoover the last few years. There's even one book, which I haven't read, I've just glanced, that blatantly says Hoover set up the Kennedy assassination.
Yes.
Is that book, if I read it, would there be things that the author doesn't know that I know?
Yes.
But In other words, the guy has a general understanding.
General understanding,
He doesn't know about the Catholic Vatican conspiracy thing that Hoover had.
No.
Nor about the battle over the Mafia.
No.
Because many writers, like Summers, think that Hoover was sort of part of the Mafia. He protected the Mafia.
He considered that there was not a Mafia.
Right, and you have said that he thought, he didn't understand that he thought these men were just macho businessmen.
And that they were good Americans. When requested to help their country, America, at the end of the World War II, certain Italian-Americans went to Sicily to make arrangements concerning the end of the war, and he said this was done from a position of patriotism. Could not see that there would be a venial aspect to it.
Now, he was wrong about these people.
Oh, yes, indeed.
But it was a blind spot through age, and his life pattern in the bureaucracy led to that blind spot, right?
You see, but there was also a belief here within himself.
You would agree with that?
Oh, yes.
But you're adding.
We'd add that there was a belief that, to him, a criminal was an aberration, not that people would voluntarily join a criminal organization, but that there was an aberrancy in this. And he could not see an organized crime as any power at all, that it would fractionalize, that it would be a compendia of
nuts, aberrant behavior.
Aberrant behavior. He did not understand the venality of some people.
Right. Now, that's why, at the end of a reading a few years ago, Hoover said to me that he was duped in the Kennedy assassination.
Duped would be a polite way of saying it.
Right. Now, that leads to the point, when re-listening to the assassination sections of my Evergreen's readings, they were waiting for Hoover to get angry at Kennedy and decide he has to go.
Yes.
But another reading says Hoover was kind of pushed in that direction. Could you fill in the dialectic between Hoover getting to the point of making the decision, and who are these other, maybe you can't name them, but who is encouraging him to go that way?
The AFL-CIO wanted Kennedy's power to affect the unions curtailed. They worked through various lobbying organizations to alter Kennedy's plan on labor law. Because Kennedy wanted to shift labor law away from the power of the unions, which he felt was excessive. They found Hoover as one man, among others, was not the only one, who were disaffected by Kennedy as president. But Hoover had power that many of these others did not have. That they pushed Hoover until Hoover moved into action. That would be the easiest way to describe it.
Right. It's not the six people involved, Hoover plus the other five, assuming the one that I've said silently, then I assume there's a military person in there. But it's the Hoffa point that you're talking about here.
The
unions and the Hoffa pushing.
Yes.
Which is the mafia people. And Hoover, did he talk to Giancana and these people in the sense that he thought they were Americans?
He thought they were loyal Americans.
That's what I mean, yeah. So it's through the unions, the mafia, and Hoffa, they were the nest working. They were the nest pushing and looking for an advantage.
Yes.
Yeah, and Hoover was duped by them. That's
yes.
The point.
Hoover was duped. That's a polite way of putting it, yes.
What's an impolite way of putting it?
He was scammed into it.
Scammed into it. And there were a few other people who we can't name who didn't mind it going this way for their reasons.
Yes.
And the general reason is they could get war profits in Vietnam.
They could get not only war profits, but contracts elsewhere. Now realize a good plan needs a fall guy. The fall guy was to be Castro. And that it was hoped that this would also be one of those measures that would unseat Castro.
Okay, now that that reminds me, I was going to ask, Lee Harvey Oswald, in New Orleans in the summer of 63, is playing out the role of being pro-Castro.
Yes, and handed out leaflets.
Now, he personally was not pro-Castro. He was told to act this point.
Yes.
Did he know that it was going to lead to an assassination or a scenario that would topple Castro?
No.
He was told to do it.
Told to do it, he did it.
By Guy Bannister and David Ferry. Or are these people you don't want named?
Bannister and Ferry were instrumental significantly in the Free Cuba Committee.
Right, and also Clay Shaw and George de Morenschild. They would be people in that nexus setting up this Castro hope, this Castro option,
this
right?
Castro red herring, yes.
Yeah. Well, some people, I imagine the mafia guys, thought they were going to get Castro through this.
Yes.
But other people knew, didn't need that to happen.
No, it was a part of the mafia thought that this would be pinned on Castro and the Castro regime, and that through Johnson, the vice president, that there could be then another invasion of Cuba, and it would be a popular invasion.
Oh, not, they weren't thinking that the murder of Kennedy would be blamed on Castro.
Well, would be blamed on Castro, and then
LBJ would act on it.
Act on it, and they would take out Castro.
Now, is that the kind of scenario that Ruby was sort of hearing about, Jack Ruby?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, why was he in the theater where Oswald would run to, yet he was duped himself? How much did he know what was being planned? What did he understand?
What he understood, what Ruby was told, was that there would be no survivor of this. That the assassin would be killed. And that the assassin, having escaped, would be able to tell too much.
Well, why did he go to the theater where Oswald showed up?
Because he was expecting someone else.
He was acting as another controlled part.
Yes.
I mean, that he was a dupe of, so to speak.
So to speak, yes.
But he still didn't understand the whole thing to the point that he had to be influenced to kill Oswald. I mean, he didn't have that idea.
But he
but
saw
you just
this
said he
as...
Did. You just said he had that idea, though, that it had to be done.
It there was to be no survivor. The assassin was not supposed to survive.
He knew that before November 22nd?
Yes.
Did they use that thought on him at the club Saturday night to get him to go kill Oswald?
Yes. That was the premise. If he talks, then too much would be said. Now, what also triggered Ruby was attached to his vanity.
Right, because we understand that Ruby, he didn't know what was going on completely.
No.
But why did he feel he should help the murderers if he perceived those guys telling him to kill Oswald? Telling them to kill Oswald, why did he perceive that he should help the assassins to protect themselves?
You see, it was not them that he was protecting. It was more that his role in that had been played out. But the next stage is that the shootist was still alive.
Right, but what was Ruby's role before November 22nd, since he wasn't really part of the conspiracy? What did he think he was doing?
He thought he was more than he was. He was a vain man.
Did he know that Kennedy was going to be assassinated?
The word was that there was going to be a problem in that town, and someone was going to be taken out.
Right, I understand.
Now, when he was influenced, it was that if the shootist would be himself killed, that people would applaud Ruby for doing this.
Right.
So that, his vanity. And he was a very small measure in illegal activities. He believed himself to be more mafia than he was. He was a convenience.
Right. So once Kennedy was assassinated, he did not think the mafia did it.
Oh, he had inklings.
Right, but he did not know.
Did not know.
And if he knew the mafia had done it, would he have acted differently?
No.
Yeah, because he wanted to be part of their scene in a way anyway.
Yes. So his opportunity was that he would take out Oswald and that he would be appreciated for it. He expected to be lauded for it and was most surprised when he was not.
Okay, I understand that. Now, I'd like to move to another part of the Kennedy world. I once asked if the Kennedys could be considered the godfathers of the mafia, the Kennedy family. And the Evergreen said, in a way. Now, the Evergreens backed off on answering this next question, but did Robert or Jack Kennedy have anything to do in creating the murder of Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
Both or one?
Jack was more influential in this than Robert, realizing that because of Monroe wanted to extend her association with Jack, and that this would become politically a very sore point, that his influence influenced another, and she was taken out.
Yeah, the mafia were not involved in that.
No.
Because the rumor is that Hoffa had Marilyn Monroe wired or tapped so as to get the goods on Jack, I think.
No, he did not have the wherewithal to do that.
Because there's a man named Bernard Spindle who supposedly tapped Marilyn Monroe's house around that time.
Yes, but if you look very carefully, you'll find out that what's his background.
So he was a double agent? He worked in intelligence?
He worked in intelligence.
For Jack Kennedy?
For a government service.
Right. So for Hoover?
No.
But he'd be part of a network that Jack could influence?
Yes.
Yeah. So Spindle really did tape Marilyn Monroe.
He taped certain things, but of nothing of value.
Yeah, and the murder of Marilyn Monroe was not taped?
No.
And she was murdered by injection?
she was murdered by injection.
Yes. The thing is that this is where Norma Mailer's novel Harlots goes. I mean, it's hard to know. Not many people know that Jack did this, that he was the prime mover, right?
I mean, that's true.
That's something for hard for people to really believe, given the image of the Kennedy family.
Yes.
So Mailer didn't want to take his novel that far.
No.
It's a point of speculation. But even Mailer, who has a hard view, a cold eye, could not bring himself to believe that, maybe.
Could not bring him to believe it, but the evidence was pointing towards it from every direction that Mailer looked. And the connections between the Kennedy family and various of the mafia families, dating back from the days of Jack Sr., and how he interacted with the families, and how
the mafia families
was common knowledge, especially in the alcohol trade.
Yes. And so that Mailer couldn't believe it, though. Couldn't take it that far.
You see, to view Jack Kennedy as anything more than Camelot has taken a number of years to get across, and will take even more to realize the extent of Kennedy's interaction with organized crime and his brother's interaction with organized crime.
And is that something they inherited from their father?
Inherited from their father. They had connections. They had contracts.
Did they resent that, or they just felt it was the power they inherited?
It was part of the power they inherited.
So they didn't have a conscience about that?
No, they did not have a conscience about that.
And because they were in the White House, they were like the first of the 30s bootleggers to get into legitimate power. So therefore, they were a successful godfather.
Yes.
And you could say that Coppola's movies about the Godfathers, the Godfather series, could be about the Kennedy family. Not intended.
Not intended, but nonetheless,
covers the same
parallels
period.
Can be drawn, yes.
It covers the same period. And, you know, the Al Pacino character doesn't become he doesn't become President of the United States, but he sort of tries to become respectable. The Kennedys actually were part of the mafia that did become respectable.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, not that they were mafia family members who then moved into legitimate business, but they had so many connections with the mafia, especially in the liquor trade.
And they understood the power of the mafia.
Yes.
That's why they were going after them.
Yes. Now, realize, this is where it became complex and difficult.
Yeah.
Where there are mafia families, the borders between the areas that the family controls and the next family to it are very rigidly drawn.
Yeah.
The New York family was becoming too large and too powerful.
And what name was that? What's the name of that?
Giacchini.
Who?
Giacchini.
Well, Giancana is in Chicago.
Giacchini called. He called on the New York families.
Is that the Colombo family?
Colombo's. And also in Buffalo.
Yeah.
To to lessen the effect of the New York family.
Giancana from Chicago started that.
Yes. One of the pressures was through Kennedy.
And that's why Giancana helped Kennedy.
Yes.
That was the deal that Giancana felt betrayed later by Robert Kennedy.
Yes.
I see. That's a missing point. Now, that clears up a lot of the interrelationship between the Kennedys and the Mafias.
Mm.
And Mailer is wrestling with that in his novel.
Yes.
Trying to deal, how to get it clear.
Yes, but realize that bringing in the Kennedys at that point was calling in favors that the Kennedys had received from the families as a whole.
For 30 years, you mean?
For more than 30 years.
Right.
Now, Chicago wanted New York to stop poaching.
In their territory?
Yes, and other territories.
Right.
But it was Chicago that spoke up. The intermediary effect of the Kennedys, to a degree, worked. But realize that the New York families were more powerful than Chicago themselves realized. So therefore, the New York family promised more than the Chicago family could promise.
To the Kennedys?
To the Kennedys. Could deliver more votes, deliver more people.
So, but is that the apparent reason why Robert Kennedy went after the Mafia? He was working for Giancana on the surface at that point to stifle New York.
Yes.
Then New York responded and made a better deal.
Yes.
The Kennedys were in the middle.
And what did they choose?
They
chose to side with the New York.
Even though the myth is that the Chicago vote helped Kennedy beat Nixon.
Until the New York vote was needed.
Oh. On the night of the election?
They got Chicago.
Because night of the election? Or the night of the election, this is all happening, you mean?
The night of the election. To understand the shiftingness in this is to understand that there's a better offer. Chicago delivered votes because of the agreement that was made with Chicago, because there would be intervention in the New York family poaching west of lines which they had decided previously not to.
Right.
Following the election, the Kennedys needed New York more than they needed Chicago.
For what? Since the election was over and they'd won.
But they needed the effect of it. Well, politics is an ongoing thing. They needed the heft of New York.
The heft?
Heft.
Yeah, in other words, to function in the White House, they needed to side with the New York power structure.
Yes. Now, part of the payment was to go after the Mafia in Chicago, to weaken them so New York could move even further west.
Right.
Now, in that period, of course, the next 5-6 years, what happened in New York to the families?
Well, they became very powerful, didn't they?
They did indeed. But notice the number of assassinations in that time.
Yes, there was a lot of power struggle.
Because Chicago was fighting back.
So that led to the murder, I think, of Colombo about 1970.
Exactly.
So that's where that was all coming from.
Yes.
But when Giancana saw that Jack Kennedy started to favor New York, that would be in 61, then you see a motive for doing the assassination starting
yes.
to surface.
That's when it began.
All right. Let's move to another scene. A key event in the novel is the plane crash, Flight 553, December 8, 1972, which had Dorothy Hunt on board.
Yes.
And many people suspect that the plane was crashed or blown up to get rid of Dorothy Hunt because of what she knew in the fallout from Watergate. Is that true? December 8, 1972, Watergate was starting to surface in the press, and Howard Hunt was in trouble, and then certain forces behind Watergate had to affect him, so they murdered Dorothy Hunt.
And what was she carrying with her?
I've heard different stories. Sherman Skolnick's an expert on that, but I don't know.
How much money was she carrying?
Oh, that's right. She had $1 million or $2 million.
Exactly.
$2 million, was it?
Two and a quarter.
What was she going to do with it?
She was going to pay off some people so they would get to other people and that they would then perjure themselves in court.
The people who would get victimized by this would end up being charged with lying in court?
No, she wanted to make sure that they lied.
Oh,
she wanted to bribe them.
To lie in court?
Yes.
So who... And were they part of Watergate, those people?
Yes. Where was she flying to?
Chicago. Going to Chicago. Now, why... Who wanted to stop that?
Why was Watergate in the first place?
That's a question that's never been explained, and that's one of my questions I was going to ask. Where did Watergate originate from? Why did it happen?
That was Nixon's role in financial valuations that one year before.
He opened the gold window.
Now, which meant that there was no longer a monetary backing to the dollar.
Yes.
Now, Bretton Woods
had been scrapped, in effect. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. That would involve the Rockefellers.
See?
And that Dr. Beter, I think, understood that.
Yes.
Yes. So they had to get Nixon out.
Yes.
But Nixon was, as the ever been said, a megalomaniac.
So it was not hard, was it? You see, the Watergate affair is a minor event. That would be a recording of others' discussions in a group situation.
The Democratic Party.
Yes. They knew everything. It was a matter of confirmation. It was a matter of pettinesses. That this had been done, and far worse than this had been done 100 times. It was a convenient peg to hang the president upon.
Right, now, I'm thinking of in Norman Mailer's novel, which will be developed in the second part, Oswald's Ghost, doesn't come out till this spring. The attractive scene scenario or possibility is that Watergate was a cover for tapping into the Federal Reserve Board on the floor above the Democratic Committee and hear how the rates were changed and anticipate that and make billions. Maybe some faction of CIA was tapping it. That is not what was going on there.
No.
And now immediately I jump to Dr. Beter saying Al Haig was a Rockefeller man, therefore Al Haig was Deep Throat, as you have said. Therefore, he worked for Rockefeller to arrange, to orchestrate this defeat of Nixon. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Is there anything you would add to that that's more complex? Or?
Nixon dug his own hole, and he pulled the earth on top of himself.
Because of his, whatever you call it, his megalomania, his stupidity, he didn't know how to fight Rockefeller.
Did not know how.
Did he understand why he was being Watergated? Did he know why?
He knew it. But also, there was one more connection. The connection was that Nixon, being the megalomaniac that he was beginning to become more influential in foreign affairs
than was desired.
Than was desired.
For Cold War purposes?
For Cold War purposes.
In that sense, he was pushing towards a more peaceful situation, maybe.
Yes. under what terms?
Yeah, I'm not sure what terms.
On peaceful terms.
Right.
But he would be making terms with what country?
China.
Who did not want better relationships between the U.S. and China?
Either Moscow or the Rockefellers.
Consider for a moment it was both.
Yeah. That's what Beter talks about. That's the Bolshevik-Rockefeller Alliance.
You see it?
I see. So that's an accurate thing.
Yes.
So the people who were Beter sources must have been very high up or very involved to understand that.
Yes, they were.
They were intelligent people themselves?
They were.
Had they done work with the Rockefellers?
Yes.
I mean, within, not through bureaucracy, but knew, personally, had worked with the Rockefellers.
Yes.
And were angry at what the Rockefellers are pulling off.
Yes.
I see. That makes that clear. So who wanted Dorothy Hunt murdered? Since she was going to get the lying, is it the Rockefeller faction that's trying to control the Watergate unfolding, so they have to get rid of meddling by Dorothy Hunt?
They had to.
Yeah.
The point is, that money that she was carrying, that was important to understand the money aspect.
Where it came from?
No, where it was going. If those bribes had gone through, then it would have given Nixon greater coverage. He would be more protected. And the objective was to make sure that under no circumstance would he be able to protect himself.
Right, so Hunt was being loyal. Mr. and Mrs. Hunt were being loyal to Nixon.
Yes.
They paid the price.
They did indeed.
And Howard Hunt knew who his enemy was, if you call it the Rockefellers, that at that time, or he found that out later?
He knew before, and then absolutely knew after.
So knowing that, knowing what you've told me, the Rockefellers are only mentioned twice in Norm Mailer's novel. Very minor situation. But it's interesting how they're left out. Does Norman Mailer know the role of the Rockefellers?
He does, and wait till we bring it up in the next novel.
Oh, the next book will bring it in.
It will.
Because I can see it's planted there through the Dean Rusk character, I think, at this point.
Yes.
And the factional fighting in the 50s and early 60s.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you for that information. We turn it over because we're going to. One thing. Were all five Rockefeller brothers involved in these shenanigans, or were people like Lawrence Rockefeller and Winthrop, who was governor of Arkansas, were they distant from Nelson and David's work?
Somewhat, but not that much.
Why does Lawrence Rockefeller fund a lot of New Age, Cathedral St. John activities, mystical activities like William Irwin Thompson? Why does he do that? If he has such a political Machiavellian background.
Two things. First is, it's a destabilization.
Of who?
Of a direction.
What is that direction?
It could be best described as a Rockefeller future. He is not simpatico with that future.
David is? David is simpatico with that future?
That he would fund all these things?
No. Lawrence is not simpatico with his brother's plans, right?
Yes.
Are the sons of these five brothers simpatico with David and Nelson's plans?
Fair, yes.
So Lawrence is being a difficult brother.
He's being a very difficult brother.
And the Rockefeller plans are still in motion?
Weekly.
Which is what Beter talks about.
Yes. weakly.
Yes.
They've lost the impetus.
But they had it in the 70s.
Yes.
And Lawrence was a problem back then.
Yes, always been a problem.
Is that like typical brotherly jealousy? Or was Lawrence had a more moral attitude about it?
No, he's more being a trickster than anything else.
What's his motive?
Destabilize.
In other words, he doesn't want the Rockefeller plan to succeed.
No, he does not.
So I would call that he's ethical. He's more for the people, so to speak. He's more of a populist,
More of a populist.
Yeah, he doesn't want that oligarchy to continue.
No, he does not.
Because he knows what they've done, and he's disgusted, I guess.
He's more than disgusted. It's more that he's now trying to atone for it.
Right.
But at the same time, he's destabilizing.
Yeah, but destabilizing his brothers.
Yes.
In other words, he's like O.J. Simpson. He's schizoid. He's been involved with crimes, and yet he's trying to deny it or pay back, you know, assuage his guilt for it, right?
Yes.
So in that confusion, he's successful in... Is it important what the Cathedral of St. John the Divine does? Does that actually upset the Rockefeller plan?
No, in truth. It's just an irritant.
Right, on the theological level, I guess you call it.
Yes.
It might be an irritant more on the Vatican than...
Not even there.
Right. Okay, that's I was curious of the relationship of the family. All right, I'm going to go to these other questions. I'd like to go back to our first reading where we talked about the evolution of the universe, and then we moved into Atlantean culture and the interaction of the Buddhis with Egypt, whether they did or not. Now, does the Ark of the Covenant relate, the mythical object, Ark of the Covenant, was that an electronic battery? Was it something that was a very potent machine, or what was the Ark of the Covenant, if there was such a thing?
Oh, there was.
And what was it?
It was a massive accumulator of energy. Massive.
That came from the Atlantean legacy?
The Atlantean legacy.
And it hurt people if they were around it?
It did.
So it was, so therefore creating fear. So it was given, it wasn't used as a technology, it was just something worshipped, so to speak.
Consider for a moment that if this civilization suddenly disappeared, this one here,
yes,
and all that was remaining was one fax machine, nothing to run it on,
yes,
but much mystique associated with it.
Yes.
That's an Ark of the Covenant.
All right, I'm going to do a quick topic. Was Hillary Clinton involved in an illegal stock deal in the late 70s, which has been made a lot of?
Yes.
She did something illegal knowingly.
Knowingly, that there would be a return that would be considered insider trading.
And so she's had to cover that all these years.
Yes.
So she's vulnerable on that point.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. All right. The Evergreens have made many predictions over the years, and many for me, and many have not happened as of this point. One of them is the press conference the White House was supposed to have a few years ago, saying that they were going to replicate the AIDS virus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, that they had replicated, had created it. I think it was successfully,
yes,
replicated it. Is that press conference still on the boards?
Still on the boards.
Did the Clinton election alter the timing on that?
It did.
Because he's not part of the same... Well, George Bush was ready to do that press conference.
Yes.
And he doesn't know how AIDS was made.
No.
But he was just told to do this.
A great advance that the virus could be replicated.
Is George Bush a Rockefeller agent, the way Al Haig is?
No.
All right. Now, this press conference is still going to happen.
Yes.
All right. Have they replicated the AIDS virus yet?
They have, yes.
The Clinton thing has set the timing off.
It's the timing.
Because he doesn't have the intelligence connections that need to do this.
Exactly.
Right. Now, our movie that Madame McBurry and I are planning, we would like to have that as we'd like to mirror that press conference or have that as an element in our scenario. Would that be dangerous?
No.
Could we time it? Do we have time to time it to have the movie come out around the time there's a press conference?
You would.
Well, when's the timing you would see the conference happening?
Conference on AIDS, New York, 1995, August.
And that's even despite the Clinton thing, but is
yes.
Clinton a lame duck at that point?
Oh, yes, most assuredly.
So this military intelligence network can start to move things.
Exactly.
Now, that's going to bring back my Bob Marshall role on AIDS and that stuff, on how I did the press conference on what caused AIDS.
Yes.
And the movie's going to be a bit about that.
Yes.
So you think that making a movie, maybe it's a small movie, I don't know what size, is not a threat to the people who need to do these press conferences?
No.
Right. So we can go ahead with that.
If you choose.
Well, should Carolyn be worried about drug companies, the vested interest of the drug companies, feeling threatened by me or as it gets known?
No.
Part of the fractionalization of the system?
Yes.
There's lots of room for people to do new things in, right?
Exactly.
Because the older companies are harassed under their own situation.
Yes.
Right. Why have a lot of the evergreen predictions not come true? I'll just say a few, like, Quebec separation. In relation to there'd be five divisions of Canada, five blocks, but the evergreens are saying in the latest journal Quebec won't separate.
No, they will not separate to become a separate entity. That there is exclusion of Quebec in an economic sense.
That's going to come out of this Parizeau thing?
Yes.
And Parizeau wants that in a way?
Yes.
And but it'll backfire on him?
Mightily.
But he still will be relatively separated.
But not a separated province.
Yeah, as officially.
Officially.
And that kind of fragmentation of Canada will create the five economic regions.
Exactly.
Now, here are some of the predictions. Hussein has not been shot.
No.
There was not a civil war in China. Not a civil war in Nicaragua. Honecker didn't die for many years. Can everyone explain then why you're not accurate on those points, those kind of points?
There is not a civil war in China?
On the news level, they certainly don't tell us that, do they? And you admit that our average perception is that there's not a civil war, like there is in Haiti right now.
Not that, but in China, there is what could be best described as a slow civil war. And as soon as Deng casts off Clay, you would hear what has not been said.
And it will be intensified, the event. They will look more obvious.
Yes.
So, and the Nicaragua Civil War hasn't happened, but is there a slow war there?
Nicaragua is not ready to explode, but the probabilities of civil war are increasing as time goes by.
Right, so the evergreens admit that the dates and times you say are not accurate.
They are sometimes optimistic.
Right. And is that Michael's impressions when he writes it? Or is that
most
dictating?
Most often. Well, no, we do wish to put the onus on Michael.
Yeah.
We accept responsibility. But there is much more that can be said and possibly should be said and in future will be said.
But up to this point, Michael has been rather brief, in a sense.
Too brief.
Yeah.
Now, elapse time, please, because there is not a great...
Okay, 55 minutes.
We have about 5 minutes.
Approximately, yes.
Okay, that was an exciting, amazing chunk of information. You are much the more wiser now of the factors involved in the American sociologist's attempt to explain your wedding. I forgot to mute you guys, but you're nice and quiet. So you still there, Eben? Yes, you are. Eben.
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted myself.
Yeah. So?
Yeah. That was a big hunk and juicy.
That's right. That's something to re-listen to.
Heck yeah. Poor Nixon.
Yeah, out of all that, you felt sympathetic to a fellow Californian.
Yeah, come on. He was so... I heard he was really smart, but...
Yeah, he is true.
And so, what were the key points? Because that was such a huge...
Yeah, listen to it. It's incredible what you just heard. Norman Mailer Harlow's ghost is how it started. And Marilyn Monroe, JFK, and details of Hoover and JFK, details of Hoover and Tolson, Hoover and the Mafia, Hoover and AFL-CIO, Castro, Oswald Bannister Ferry, Ruby, JFK, RFK, and Marilyn Monroe, Spindle, CIA by boy, Mailer, Kennedy's in the Mafia Wars, New York family becoming too strong versus the Colombo and Buffalo families and the Gene Cannon. That's an amazing part. That explains a lot of the Mafia Wars.
Yeah.
Wow. And then, just pausing there for you to be in awe of that factor. Be interesting to see how much Gorzizi gets into this. Then Flight 553, Watergate, Nixon, the Hunt, Rockefeller, Harlow's ghost, more Rocky and Oswald's ghost. The Rockefellers, Lindisfarne. Now all these books, Mailer's book changed the game. He never did Harlow's ghost part two. He did something different. Changed.
He died of natural causes, right? He died of natural causes.
No, Nelson Rockefeller was murdered, according to Dr. Beter.
How about Norman Mailer?
I don't know. There was a whole story about the timing of that. And the last time I got to speak to him, I can't remember it now. Some interesting synchronicity. Yeah, what's in his book?
I
can't remember the title of his book. Basically, the devil moved to America after World War II. Then there's Mir, Quebec separation. No, we didn't get that far. So, George Bush and Rocky. Yeah, that was something.
Nice.
Ark of the Covenant. Massive accumulator of energy. Hear that part?
Oh my gosh, I might have dozed on that. But hold it, massive gather of energy. So
massive accumulator of energy left over from Atlantis.
Where is it?
Maybe we didn't get that far. Let me see.
Has Ion described the Ark? You've gone through it.
Oh yeah, Ion? They've talked about it. Yeah. It sort of it overlaps with what the Ion says about it. So that was part two. Yeah, I'm not gonna. If you didn't hear the Ark of the Covenant, we didn't do it.
I think I heard when I tuned in one time. I think I heard you guys talking about it, that it was all the people's emotions or wills or something going in, and that's what gave it all of its power, was the people placing so much importance on it.
Yeah.
I heard that one.
Is Susanna gone? Who's left? Probably Denny's probably here. Madeline, you still here?
Not really.
Well, did you catch any of that?
Sort of.
It looks like I'm on my own from here on in.
Denny's here. Denny's been listening.
Denny's paying attention.
There you go.
Are you going to bed? You going to sleep, Madeline?
Trying not to.
Yep.
Probably.
Nope, I am.
Look at that. Look at. Are you looking at the? Do you look at the messages over on the right, Madeline?
Nope.
Hoover running around in miniskirt lipstick. They don't even understand it. That's a subtle thing that is going to be looked over in the iconography.
I heard that part. That was interesting.
Yeah, very subtle. Actually talking about people.
Yeah, but Bob, really, when you think about what it is, the emotions or something that he had to act out, I mean, how funny what kind of Saturday Night Live skits that could be. I mean, what exactly is he experiencing in a dress?
No, he's so macho. I mean, it's very simple to understand. He's so macho all day long that he couldn't express his sentimental or whatever the female side is that came out with the dress.
I know, but wouldn't it be interesting just to see what part of the female, you know, essence he decides to imbue? I just think that would be so interesting to see what is that.
He decides to imbue feminine clothing.
I know, but he also probably takes it on in voice and in gesture and in some kind of tea
not
party.
Not necessarily. No, anybody just talk normally.
Oh, for crying out loud.
No, I'm with Evan.
Well, this
he
is silly.
Make up.
Yeah,
lashes.
You guys can use your imagination all you want. Don't catch me doing that.
Well, you're the one who's saying that he was accessing something he couldn't as a macho man. So when you take on that feminine exterior, there's an interior also. So anyways, I was just thinking, you know, it is kind of fun to think about what he chose. Like, if you were to dress up as a woman, Bob, what would you experience?
I don't know. I've never done it, so I wouldn't know what would happen. I wouldn't like doing it. I don't feel like a desire to do it. I just declare I'm a fucking woman. I don't need to dress like one, do I?
Well, it helps.
No, it doesn't. If I'm declaring it, that's enough. It bypasses cultural clothing. I'm just a spinning clothing crystal. Dancing the hex advertisement. But sounds like you guys can't get into the raw subtlety of it. You have to maintain the TV iconography in some way.
Oh, no, it's just late.
Yeah, that forgot. Hey, before you go, Madeline, I have to play you what Hoover said to me. This was interesting. All right, so that was May 92, I think. May 92. Just a second.
That is you through the evergreen?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just going to look it up. May 14th. Or is it May 12th? What we just heard, just for the dating, was October 3rd, 1994.
That was a fun segue, by the way, going from dressing up like a woman to J. Edgar.
So, Bill, you're a little more rational and mature about it, right? You don't require Saturday night skits, do you?
Don't require what? I just got back. I was taking a bath.
That's the problem with this electronic world. It's all disconnected. You don't know what people have heard. You don't require Saturday Night Live skits.
Oh, no. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live since, I think, the original cast left in the 70s.
Same here. Proud of it.
Oh, stop. There's some good stuff.
The next generation feels... everybody's always feeling insulted, Bill. Even you sometimes. It's extraordinary.
Bob, that's one of your natural talents, is to bring that particular emotion out in people.
Yes, it's my calm, serene demeanor.
Absolutely.
With a patina of agitation that just throws people off. It doesn't make sense. Okay, so we got here it is. So it's May. No, it's April 23rd, 91. Now, dig this. This wasn't even expected. April 23rd, 91. Right here.
The following is...
So you go all the way to the end. Still looking. Just a second. Still looking. Well, gonna have to. Still looking.
Did it because I believed it was in the nation's interest. Vengeful. The fact that it is gaining certain result.
Systems of the body to normal, naturally now.
And while that is the conference, so you're working in a 1-to-1 ratio through the conference.
Mm-hmm.
We have to move it around a bit.
Systems of the body to normal.
And while that is through the conference.
Mm-hmm. With people involved.
Yes. So you got a mirror.
Systems of the body to normal.
So you're working in a 1-to-1 ratio through the conference.
Mm-hmm. With people involved.
Yes. Yes.
And will it go on to be patented and sold through pharmacies?
Yes.
Great. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Do you have a final comment at this time?
Here it comes, guys.
Anything else they want to add to anything that you've said?
I have to tell you what Hoover says. He says, I was duped, but I did it because I believed it was in the nation's interest. And while that is no excuse, I believed it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. People have been contacted.
Now, that's Greek tragedy. Did you stay out for this, Bill? Did you stay out?
Did I stay out? Stay up?
Yeah, stay out here where I can ask your response.
Oh, I'm here.
Good. All right. Did you get the Greek tragedy? Now, when you die, Bill, you'll be able to walk up to Hoover and say, you fucking asshole, you killed my favorite president. And he's going to look at you with the wisdom of the ages. He says, I did it. They believed it. The guy deserved killing.
Well, in the first place, he wasn't my favorite president. So 50%, yeah, I would say you fucking asshole, but that's have nothing to do with JFK.
Okay.
By the
just
way,
look at that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Hoover. There he is. He has to deal with the vibrations of humanity for eternity, and he's under pressure. And he says it was not, you know, the best of deeds. And he says I did it because the guy was a jerk, and I was patriotic, and because I believed it. He's asking for you to respect his beliefs. That's where it gets tricky. It's his cover, you know. Hey, I believe it. You believe things. Can I believe things? Can I act in what I believe?
Well,
that's the biggest assumption.
It doesn't most everybody most of the time. Yeah, it's. I think Hoover probably, if you buy into this whole thing, Hoover probably did believe it. And even if he was not involved, if this is metaphysical disinformation, Hoover probably, well, I guarantee you that Hoover was not depressed. You know, whatever. I mean, even if Hoover had had nothing to do with it, he was probably somewhat relieved, put it that way.
But what?